So basically what we said, that Islam is not imported from outside the United States. Okay, Islam is not an American religion. We reply and say all religions are imported from outside of the United States, from the Middle East, because Prophet Isa was not born in New York, Prophet Musa was not born in Chicago. They are all born in the Middle East, and all religions came from the Middle East, equally imported from the Middle East. Muhammad is not an American religion. No, is not an American name. No, Muhammad is an American name, but not a Christian name. And whenever you disagree with an American person, not every American, with a racist American, they tell you what? Go back to your home. Right? How about the indigenous Muslims that are born? You know, the African American Muslims, for example, where is home to them? I mean,
here,
exactly. They are born here and raised here, and not only their generations and generations. Okay, so they tell you go back to your religion, go back to your country. You say, I am in my country
because this is home.
This is home. Now they might be able to classify first generation of immigrants as foreign, kind of foreign, like fake Americans, like they say. But the second generation is born and raised here. And the third generation and the fourth generation and the African Americans, where do they go? And something very nasty about those who say go back to your country when you disagree with them, something nasty is about that, which is, when they disagree together, when those racist people disagree together, okay? Do they tell each other, go back to your country? No. Do they respect differences of opinion? Yes. Between each other, they do respect different opinions, and they don't say to each other, go back to Europe. Okay? So it's only when they come to us or debate with us, they say, if they don't like it, they say, go back to your country. Now, another argument to add to that is that immigrant Muslims, which are like us, accepted to be Americans when they are adult by choice. Right? So actually, one thing that you don't have, or something your parent has that you don't have, is that they made a decision to be American when they were when they are adults, when they can on their own will. So they chose to be an American. How about the people who are born here? Did they choose to be American? No. So that's one thing that we bring up, that immigrant Muslims chose to be Americans. However, the people who are born here in the United States, they didn't make the choice. It happens just by coincidence. Okay? Did I give an oath of allegiance? Yes. When I was given my citizenship, I raised my hand and gave an oath of allegiance to the United States. Allegiance to the United States. Did you give an oath of allegiance?
Yes.
When?
No.
Huh?
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
No, we didn't do that.
No, we did not.
Inside of my school, we have to do it every single day after second period because it's on the announcements. And they say, at least out of respect, you should be standing up.
Yeah, they did that
first. Good. So we did, even though if we did not attend schools here, we did give an oath of allegiance when we were granted naturalized. So we are called naturalized citizens. Okay? Now, many people, when they disagree with them, they don't only say, go back to your country, but they also say, love it or leave it. Did you hear about love it or leave it before? Now, what do you? How do you reply to this love it or leave it?
First, let's take away, like dissect this phrase, love it or leave it, because so what would a person mean when they're saying that? What case scenario would this pop up in? What you might be talking about?
So you might be...
Guys, come on. Anybody. You.
You know how, you know how United States is free? And I have a joke about that. Once there is President Bush and Gorbachev. Gorbachev was the president of Soviet Union. Okay, that's when I was 22, 23. Okay, and the Soviet Union was still there. Yeah, Gorbachev was the president of Russia. Not Russia, actually, Soviet Union. Because at that time, Soviet Union was still around. Did not collapse until 91, 92.
President Bush?
No, he's talking to President Bush, the first Bush. So President Bush was bragging about the United States. He said, in the United States, people have the freedom to do everything they want. If anyone will stand in front of the White House, curse the White House, curse the American Constitution, burn the flag, and curse the president, and curse the White House, nothing will happen to him or to her. See how free we are? He's bragging. So Gorbachev said, and we allow the same exact freedoms in our country. Bush said, huh? In communism, you're allowed the same freedom? He said, yes. He said, how? He said, Gorbachev said, any Soviet Union citizen can stand in front of the White House, curse the White House, curse the American Constitution, burn the American flag, and nothing would happen to him. Do you see this? Do you understand this joke? So now, is it really like that? No. Whenever we get into a difference, like something that's not right about the United States or something you disagree with, and whenever you voice your opinion, say, I disagree with this, it's not right, they tell you, love it or
leave it.
Are they being Americans when they say that? No. Because the American system or the established Republican constitutional country, remember, the United States is not democratic. The United States is constitutional republic. Any difference? Who knows the difference?
Democratic Republican, I believe, is...
Democratic means you can vote on everything. So you can vote on everything. For example, if they vote, we should kill all Muslims, for example. Muslims are a minority, right? The majority of the people, Muslims will always lose the vote because they don't have enough number. So Muslims are a minority. In democracy, yes, you can vote on that. And if you lose the vote, then you get executed, for example. However, in constitutional republic, you're not allowed to vote on that because it's against the Constitution. Get this part right? So you're not allowed. So for example, another example. Let's say, okay, kick all Mexicans, kick all non-white citizens from the United States. So now,
there's gonna be no one left.
If it is democracy, then you vote on that, and of course, the minority will lose the vote because they are minority.
But white people are like becoming less common nowadays.
Yes, that's here. You haven't been to the East Coast and to the Bible Belt. and to these countries, to these states. There are really a lot of them. And minorities are like, I was living in Evansville, 99.5% are white and 0.5% are minorities.
Wait, the Constitutional Republic and...
Constitutional Republic, it means that you cannot vote in democracy. So are we democracy? Absolutely not. Are we Constitutional Republic? Absolutely yes. However, people try to walk away from that. They walk away by basically people are having bad stereotypes about Islam. Okay? So now they start oppressing Muslims. Like there was this National Defense Authorization Act. Did you hear about it? NDA.
Oh.
It gives the government the power to any person who is suspected of terrorism is arrested and thrown in jail for lifetime without... court trial. Without any court trial. So, if a rapists will get court trials. Murderers will get
court trials.
But
if they hire get a lawyer, maybe they can even go free.
Yeah. Who are suspected of terrorism? Muslims. So it means that Muslims are the ones, the victims of this law, new law. Now, this law is unconstitutional. But they passed it because they voted on it. If we truly are American, if we truly are constitutional republic, this issue will not be available for vote. Go ahead.
What's the name of the law?
National Defense Authorization Act, NDA. National, can you write it? National Defense Authorization Act, which is NDA. That's walk away from this constitutional republic and becoming democratic. Defense Authorization Act, NDA. Now, how about love it or leave it? Go ahead.
Well, I have a question about that. So it just basically says, like, you take out the... So against terrorism, is that what it is?
No, anybody who's suspected, who's a suspect, just like you think that this guy has something to do with terrorism.
Then they kill him?
No, they take them to prison for life. They can't take them for life. Up to... lifetime in prison without court trial, without any of the due process. No court trial, no nothing. Huh?
So even if they plead innocent, they still go to jail?
There's no plea because you don't get to go to court. You're not being, you're deprived from the due process, which is like going to court and have rights and the evidence must be compelling, and then you see the jury, and the jury judges.
But even if you're a citizen?
Even if what?
Even if you're, like, born in America, and you're, like, a citizen?
Yes, yes, even
but
though.
But according to the Fifth Amendment, we should have...
As I said, they are walking away from being constitutional republic into being democracy. They voted on that thing, and it passed.
When did it happen? In Obama's term.
No, not in Obama's term. In Obama's term, yes.
First one?
First period that he is a president.
That would have gotten very smoothly until it reached President Obama, but he could have vetoed it, and then Congress vetoed his veto.
2/3 of the Congress voted yes. Okay.
Just the Congress? They vetoed
yes.
His member?
No, they approved the National Defense Authorization Act.
Yeah, you have to ratify it. You have to, like, propose the law, and then you have to ratify it. The ratifying, can be done by the president, but if he vetoes it and Congress thinks it's super important, they're allowed to veto the president's veto.
Oh, so they have to have a two-thirds majority vote, right?
Yeah.
Of both parties.
Yeah, they are.
But, and then it has to be, I think it's two-thirds to get to the president and then three-fourths to actually ratify.
Wait, so Congress does not have any Muslims, right? So
is that
all
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
that's why.
Exactly. They'll get their way. They will.
Yeah. And this is now is democracy. Now we're not talking about constitutional republic. Why? Because constitutional republic, you cannot vote against something which is unconstitutional.
This is proof that we're winding back and we're going to the Salem trial. Like, literally, you're being burned at the stake, and then you have, neighbors are accusing neighbors, and then eventually, it's going to lead to the exact same.
So, how do you reply to love it or leave it? Of course, the racist will tell you that, because you're a minority, and to them, you are a foreigner to the United States. To me, I am a naturalized citizen. To Lena and Sarah and all my children, Muhammad and Ahmed, they are
natural born.
So they are not naturalized. Anyway, so how do you reply to love it or leave it?
So what is love it or leave it? Did we already go over this? If we did, then you should guys. Okay, so what is
it? If you object about something, if you object or disagree with a racist person, they tell you love it or leave it. Now, is that an American spirit?
No.
So what is the American spirit? Love what is? Huh? Good. And hate what is? Bad. So love it or leave it is totally un-American. Another example, after 9/11, George Bush came out on television and he said that it's either you are with us or with the terrorists.
With us or against us?
Yes. It's either that you are us or with the terrorists. There is no third kind. That was a big insult to the intellectuals and to the American citizens.
Really?
Yeah. Why it is was...
What's a good reply to love it or leave it? Now that we know what it is. If you were to reply to somebody saying love it or leave it, what would you reply?
This is against the American spirit, right? Because the American spirit is love.
Okay.
Love what is?
I don't
hate what is bad.
What is bad, exactly. And the freedom we have. But you say love it or leave it, that's not American at all. Okay. So when George Bush after 9/11 said you are with us or the terrorists, and Bin Laden came and said it's either you are with us or you're a hypocrite. You know hypocrisy?
Yeah.
So he says, it's either you with us or you are a hypocrite. Both are expressing an extreme. The extreme of, you know, disallowing people to be in the middle. Well, what if someone says, I am not with you, I am not with the terrorists, I am against both of you? Is that a choice? Yes, this is a choice. But now George Bush insulted the American people by telling them you are either with us or with the terrorists. No, I am against both of you. I am against gang-sponsored terrorism, like Bin Laden and his group, and state-sponsored terrorism, like terrorize people by bombing them or, you know, do something or like do the atomic bomb, or these are all state-sponsored terrorism. Now, what is which one is more harmful? State-sponsored, yes. Why? Because it's an entire army working into destroying a country, just like what happened in Iraq, for example. But Bin Laden, what's the maximum he did? He just did, the worst thing he did is 9/11, which is, was not a big deal in the United States. It's just like a big, huge elephant. The United States is a big, huge elephant. And you just broke that elephant. That's what you did.
Can I really quickly disagree with that? Okay, I have to admit, 9/11 was a huge tragedy. It's not like not that they made it such a big deal, but if you think about it this way, more people died in 9/11 than they did in Pearl Harbor, right? Remember how America responded to that?
Atomic bomb.
Yeah, an atomic bomb, internment camps. It was horrible, right? Versus then we have 9/11, their response is exactly the same. So you have to, America hasn't exactly changed over the years, yeah? Because more people died inside of, well, first of all, we were bombed. Second of all, people died. More people died in 9/11 than they did in Pearl Harbor, right? And then their reaction, again, is vaguely the same. Before, they were racist against Japanese, and now they're racist against who? Us. There's always going to be like that hostility.
It's not between a race and a race. It's between... Use this instead. It's not a race against race. It is a country against religion. You're not targeting a race. You're targeting a religion. You're oppressing people from a different. So, as far as 9/11, United States is so humongous and so powerful that 9/11 just like was, you know, pulling a hair or poking an elephant. It's not, the United States is much bigger than that and much stronger than that. The United States would not collapse because of 9/11, or even worse than 9/11. Okay? So what I'm trying to say here is...
Do you guys want to think of a better example? Answer?
Isn't it discriminatory? We have the freedom to choose what side.
You know, once I was interviewed by a journalist after 9/11. And then she said that, do you feel like you feel guilty of what Bin Laden did? So I said, guilty.
Oh, wait, not guilty. I feel sorrow.
Yeah, I feel sadness, sorrow. But I don't feel... She said, if Bin Laden... Why should I worry about that? She said, Bin Laden is a Muslim, and he did 9/11. So he said, Bin Laden proves that Muslims are peaceful. That's a proof. Bin Laden is a proof that Muslims are peaceful. She said, huh? I said, yes, because Bin Laden and his group, the maximum is 20,000, right? Divide that by 1.5 billion, which is 1,500 millions. So what's the ratio? So Bin Laden and his group, let's say 10,000. And the Muslims are 1,500 millions. 1,500 millions. If you do this division, what do you get?
Anybody have a calculator on them?
To make it easy, let's say 15,000, just to make it easy. So divide this by this. It's an iPhone. Divide this by this. You get what?
100?
Let's see. You got it?
Okay. We have
five zeros.
0.1. Okay. That's nice. Couldn't you just cancel out the zero like zero? Is that a zero?
No, that's a comma. That's comma. That's a comma.
Okay, and then you were left with 15 divided by 15.
Yeah, so it's 1.5. So it means that the remaining Muslims are not like that. So because bin Laden is the exception, not the norm, then Muslims are peaceful. You got this part? So I said, Muslims, terrorists are 0.01% of Muslims. It means that 99.99% of Muslims are peaceful. Not like this group. So is that a proof that Muslims are peaceful? Yes. You got that? So 99.99% of Muslims are peaceful, are not from Al-Qaeda. That proves that, because bin Laden, is he the exception or the rule? The very exception, the very radical, the very exception, okay? It is, by the way, the exception, think about this, the exception will prove that the fact is true. How would the exception prove that the fact is true? This is intellectual thinking. Because if you don't have, the exception will prove that the rule is true, because if you don't have rule, you will not have exception. You got that part? If you don't have the rule, then you have the exception. Then you will not have the exception. So the existence of exception means what? The rule is right. Now they take this exception and they paint all Muslims with that. And that's somehow the public got deceived into that and have fallen into this trap. Questions? Okay.
You could always think, well, what did Osama bin Laden have to gain from the event? He didn't. He just really, really wanted to gain blood.
He didn't. He just poked the elephant, and then the elephant start stepping on people. Like, elephant got mad and started stepping on a lot of innocent people. By the way,
yes.
People say that 9/11 was a conspiracy.
Conspiracy?
Well, we can say that, but there is no proof that we can have.
Conspiracy? Like the government just planned it out, or like hired him to do it, so that they can bring America against.
Okay. Bin Laden was made by the CIA, but the CIA did not intend to make Bin Laden do 9/11. They made bin Laden for what? Exactly, to fight the Soviet Union. Now the Soviet Union collapsed, bin Laden turned his guns to the United States. You raise the monster will come back and hide.
Wait, why did he go against America?
Because he's done with the first enemy, Soviet Union. And so that he wants to go against the second superpower. He's done with the first superpower because the Soviet Union collapsed. Now he wants to go to the other superpower and knock it down the way he knocked down or participated into knocking down the Soviet Union.
You think about it, America means the same thing as its minorities. Because it was African Americans, then it was the exact order, but let's just say African Americans, Mexicans, then it was Japanese, and then it was us.
Most
so even in our history, is this constant thing of eating up the minority, chewing up the minority, spitting out the minority, and repeat.
So
we'll pretty much eat ourselves up because we are made out of minorities.
So nobody can tell me. I am insulted when somebody tells me you are either with us or the terrorist, and the Bin Laden saying you are either with us or hypocrite. I am against both of them. I am against the state-sponsored terrorism, and I'm against the gang-sponsored terrorism. To me, both are bad.
I'm reading this book right now in school, and it's called Pharaoh of Manzanar, and I remember this one scene. It's about the fathers being questioned, interrogated, and they're like, oh, who do you want to win, America or Japan? And he's like, so he really postpones the question until it comes to answer me, and he's like, well, if your mom and dad are fighting, do you want them to kill each other, or do you want them to just stop fighting? And so our loyalties will be with both of them, but it's kind of very torn. Yeah.
Or against both.
Against both, too. But because each person, if you're against them, you have to also be, because if you're against your, just in this thing, if you're against your mother, then you are with your father on Sunday. Your mom on something, because there, if there's two opinions of each person's then you're like, okay, I disagree with that, meaning that I agree with that, disagree with that, and I agree with that. Just two different perspectives.
Anyways,
I'm glad you guys are actually talking today.
It's a hot subject because, as I told you last time, people didn't clap when President Obama said we reject the stereotypes about Muslims, but they clapped when he said we reject stereotypes about immigrants, we reject stereotypes, anti-Semitic people, to be against Jews. People clapped, but when it came to Muslims, people did not clap. So obviously there's a lot of garbage inside the people. Intellectuals, by the way, would be insulted, right, by President Bush saying you are either or against us. And also they are insulted by the American media. Why? What's wrong with the American media? It teaches what?
I don't know.
Stereotypes. Yeah. But if I may phrase it.
It's like they're making decisions for you.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly right. They make decisions for you. So they basically determine which side they go, and then they, after they determine which side they are with, they start giving you propaganda. Okay? So what is the difference between true journalism and propaganda?
Propaganda is made to promote one thing and kind of like
exactly, promote. Mashallah, exactly. The propaganda is not the right journalism
it's
is
a lot
to
of opinion.
Yeah, the real journalism is that they tell me about both sides. They fairly cover both sides, and I get to choose which side I am with.
Unless you're biased.
Exactly. Even if I'm biased, but I get to choose. But now the propaganda, they will shower you with propaganda, tuck, 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 okay? It means that they are making the decisions for you. A lot of intellectuals are mad because of that. I am personally mad because I wanted the media to tell me both sides of the story and I get to decide which side. When the American media talks, like Fox News, I watched it several months ago, actually a year ago.
Super biased. Super biased.
And then they said that 25,000 Christians are imprisoned in the Muslim land. And this is crap. Honestly, this is crap. You know, the people who are taking Islam seriously are the ones behind bar. Nobody puts 25,000 Christians behind bars. Okay? Now, the natural differences between us are intended by Allah, right? Should I punish you for a natural difference between us intended by our Creator? So when they tell me, when you tell me, I reply about that, when they talk to me about that, I say, you're punishing me for a natural difference intended by our Creator. He intended that natural difference. So you're punishing me for it.
Quick, does anybody know how we came to have natural differences?
This makes me so sad.
There was, when Allah was making Adam, what he did is he asked an angel, they kept on wanting to go to the earth. I'm just going to try to say this really quickly. Angels kept on, he kept on assigning angels to go to the earth, and they said that they were afraid because the earth was like, oh, don't touch me. And then he asked Allah to protect him. And then the angel of death came down, and he's like, well, I've been given an order by Allah, and even if Allah is protecting you, I have Allah at my side. And so he goes down and he takes mud from every portion of the earth in order to make the clay for Adam. Whose siblings are those?
So because Allah created us from different pieces of mud to have different race, this is intentional by Allah. So and it shows the greatness of Allah by being different than each other. It shows the greatness of Allah. Like Allah is creating us the same but different. We have a common denominator, but everyone has a unique thing about him or her. Like, for example, thumbprint. Just like an example. Now, this is a greatness because it shows the greatness. Why? Because you can see in a factory, if they produce Toyota cars, let's say Toyota Corolla, all the Toyota Corolla cars are the same. There's no difference because this is a man-made thing. But Allah made it such a way, everyone is unique. Every one of us is unique in a way, and there's a common denominator between us. Allah judges us for what we choose, not the what we were made by Allah. In other words, do you get a choice to pick your race? No. Why? Then Allah will not judge you about that. Allah will judge you about how the good deeds and the bad deeds that you have done. Allah does not punish you for something that is out of the
Allah pretty much takes out all the possible factors that you're saying. Anything that you couldn't have possibly controlled. He takes out all those factors, all those things are potentially uncounted for. And then he judges it based on purely you. So if you have really destructive environment at home, and you respond really destructively to an event, like anything, right? Then Allah would, well, based on his wisdom, he would take out the factor of you being raised in a very violent home in order to award you / not award you for any of your actions. Get it?
Now, they say also that Muslims want to apply Sharia in the United States.
Are we going to go on to this topic today?
Oh, no, that's just very few points. So what are you saying there? People, Muslims, want to apply Sharia in the United States? One answer is that people, Muslims, failed to apply Sharia in their country they came from. You know, Egypt does not apply Sharia. None of the Muslim countries apply Sharia. And Muslims are majority. So now, when Muslims are minority, they are going to apply Sharia. Isn't that ridiculous? Another thing that many parts of Sharia, remember when I told you, when we mentioned the objective of the Sharia, the five objectives of Sharia, many of these objectives are already in the United States being implemented. You know, there is a big area of intersection. There is a big common area between Sharia and American law. American laws are the closest to Sharia than any other laws, even the laws in the Muslim land. Okay. And I will, inshallah, conclude here and see if you have anything. I'm sorry if you have a question.